Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Coach Dave Live. All right, let's make this clear. Coach Dave Live. That's where you're going to be able to find us. And people aren't finding us. It's good. It's a good thing because they want to join us. They love to be a part of what's going on here. But think about this now, folks. We're not on Vimeo. Although they let us back in temporarily for 7 days or something like that. That's where we streamed all of our video, by the way. We got booted off of YouTube, so we went to Vimeo. Because we said, I will be okay at Vimeo. And then Vimeo took offense to the fact that... Maybe I can pull that up here. I want you guys to see what Vimeo said. I'll get to that in a second. We can't go on Vimeo. Do you have that, Jared? That thing from Rob, he sent that to you. Let everybody see exactly what kind of crap's going on here. We can't get on YouTube. I'm banned on Facebook. Although Facebook keeps sending me... email messages wants to know if I want to boost my post. In other words, they want to keep making money off of me. See, Facebook's making money off of us. YouTube's making money off of us. They get all of our content and they monetize it and they make money on it. And it's just the reverse of baking cake. They want you to pay and then they don't want to have to bake the cake. So listen, Coach Dave Live. Now I want to tip a cap to Jared because Jared created a platform where we are, where we're streaming, and it's at Coach Dave Live. Folks, you're gonna have to spread the word. If you go to YouTube, you're not gonna find it. If you go to Facebook, say, "Well, Coach must be off the air." No, I'm not off the air, but we're not there. Oh well, Coach, I'm gonna go see if I can find him on wherever. No, I'm not there. I'm at CoachDaveLive.com. So Rob Pugh, who has a Vimeo account, all right, paid $1,000 for his Vimeo account. It's like going to the baker, paying them to bake a cake, and then they won't bake it. He paid $1,000 to have this account. They pulled him down because, heaven forbid, David Arthur said, you're not born gay, and you can come out of it. Unbelievable, isn't it? So here's what they said. So you know what we're dealing with, that this is real, we're not making it up. Sean, who knows who he is, Sean M. Here's a lot of authority, I bet. Just Rob, thanks for Rob sent him. Said, "What are you guys doing? I paid for this thing. How can you pull this down?" Rob, thanks for reaching out. There are some definite issues with your videos as far as our terms of service. And then they give us the terms and the guidelines. Specifically, Vimeo users may not upload, post, or transmit, collectively submit any video, image. I got to move this out of my way here. That always happens to me. How do I do that? There it is. Image, text, audio recording, or other work, collectively content that, are you ready? That contains hateful, okay, see, homos don't have to be, homos aren't born that way. I guess that's hateful. Defamatory, homos are having butt sex. I guess that's defamatory, even though that's what they're doing. Or discriminatory content. Now listen, they can discriminate against our content. They can discriminate against that, but they can, we can, or incites hatred against any individual or group. See, who's getting more hatred thrown at them? Christians or the homos? So this means that Vimeo moderators will generally remove videos that make derogatory or inflammatory statements about individuals or groups of people, like Trump supporters. Trump supporters, they get banned all the time, right? The people saying bad things about Trump supporters, they're always banning them. Or videos that are intended to harm someone's reputation. Have you seen some of the crap they put on about me? Or have an overall mean-spirited vibe. There's touchy-feely for you, isn't it? Let's see that hold up in a court of law. While we do encourage users to voice their opinions, and are staunch supporters of free speech, we also have specific rules to ensure that the content on our platform does not cross the boundary between criticism and abuse. That said, you do have a high number of videos, and there may be examples in there that don't violate our rules. I've therefore restored your account as you requested. However, I have also initiated a warning countdown so that you can either review your uploads and remove any that violate our rules. Now, I don't know what the rules are, or more smoothly transition to a new hosting platform should Vimeo prove to be an unsuitable outlet for your programming. Oh, that makes me feel so good. For a non-exhaustive example, we have removed your video, Fake Salt, formerly available. The specific issue here was multiple homophobic and transphobic statements. I don't even know what the hell that means. Yeah, you may have a negative view of the gay community. They're sinners. I don't have a negative view of them. You are not permitted to engage in homophobic and abusive speech. So, Coach Dave, please take the next 7 days to either get your mind right and remove any and all videos that contain, you ready, homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic statements or otherwise violates our terms of conditions. If you do wish to remain on the platform, please get your mind right and refrain from creating further content that violates our rules. Even though the rules are nebulous, we don't even know what they mean. And if you're not able to stay within these rules, Coach, David Arthur, and anybody who talks about homos, please take this time to archive your material and transition to a new hosting provider better suited to your needs. We are, Jared. We will review the account at the end of this period, and if any content that violates our terms of guidelines remains, we will be forced to terminate the account. Now, folks, where's the court of law that we get to go and make our case that this isn't homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic? Where's that one? So there you are. 6 days. We got 6 days left on Vimeo. And in my mind, Vimeo's number one. If you guys know what I'm talking about, they're number one. Vimeo. That's what I think about them. But see, the battle for our free speech is everywhere. Now, let me show you something else. I don't think I have this. This Flea Flicker Friday, by the way. I'm going to let you throw some stuff on the table. On the table. I got some great stuff, but I'm going to let you guys jump in here. Stormy Daniels, you know, I don't have the article. I could throw it up there, but I'm not going to waste my time with it. Stormy Daniels was arrested here in Columbus 2 nights ago for, we have strip club laws. They fought hard to get it in place. The strip club law in Ohio says this: you're not allowed to, if you're a stripper, you're not allowed to touch a patron. You're not allowed to give lap dances. You're not allowed to do that. You can get up on the pole. You can do whatever you do up on the pole and let those guys down there have their tongue sticking out your mouth. You can do all that, but you're not allowed to touch them. Well, Stormy Daniels supposedly the other night touched three different police officers, undercover police officers. Oh, by the way, that was a sting. It was a sting. Columbus, Ohio is one of the most liberal cities in all of America, right? So for them to say, well, it's just conservative laws, but here's what really got me. Big print yesterday in our local Columbus dog patch, a dispatch. Here's the problem. They released her because, you ready? It was a 10-year-old law. Can't be having any of those 10-year-old laws. We got to have 6-month-year-old laws. Those are the ones we want to enforce because those are the ones that have been updated and non-transphobic and not xenophobic and not homophobic and not prostitutophobic and not slutophobic and all of those. So the new those 10-year-old laws, we cannot be enforcing those 10-year-old laws. So
what we should stop enforcing the 40-something-year-old laws and stop killing babies then, right, Coach?
How about that, Dale? How about that? And how about let's stop enforcing that 81-year-old income tax law? How about we stop that one, huh? Yeah, I mean, this stuff just makes me sick. I got a lot to share with you, but I'm going to throw the gate open here real quick. Anybody want to walk in here? Flea Flicker Friday. Come on. My wife said, you talk too much. Give them a chance to talk. I said, are you kidding me? Oh, hang on a minute. I said, when I open the door, let them talk. George says something. Vinny says something. Larry says something. And that's about it.
And Dale says something.
Dale says something. The rest of them just sit there like bumps on a log. Don't say anything.
Please join us, guys.
It will not hurt to say what something that you think. And we promise it'll be archived, but we won't identify you. And we won't call you trans or homo or bi or what. We won't call you any of those names. You're free here to express what's on your heart. So, Dale, are you on your way, Dale? You on your way to Indy?
I am on my way to Indianapolis, Indiana, brother. Look, man, there's not only power in numbers, testimonies beyond testimonies. I was going to throw one up this morning of a lady who we led, who is a worker of the abortion clinic in Georgia, came out, stuck a note in my sister's hand and said, "Help me. Help me." And we went. I'm sorry, my GPS is talking.
That's all right.
And brother, she comes to the hotel room that night and she says, "I had a dream." She goes, "It was grisly, evil. I could feel the presence of evil." She goes, "But then all of a sudden a bright light came and I had so much peace." She goes, "You guys were that bright light." Brother, to this day, that lady now has 5 children, no longer is employed at an abortion clinic. Come on, church, let's go. Let's go snatch them out of the fiery pits of hell.
Amen. Let me tell you this story. This is amazing. I subbed in a golf league last night. You know, I play in another golf league. We call it the Pirate League because everybody in it smokes dope, drinks beer. And I thought, boy, what a good place for me to be right in the middle of these guys. And so I got a call to sub in another league last night. This is amazing. To sub in another league. And I don't know the guys I'm playing with. And I show up and I had an old guy, actually the guy that owns the course. He and I shared a cart and then we had a team of 4 guys. And then the other 2 guys were younger guys. And one of them was just tattooed up and down, just up that all over him and had love bites on his neck. And everything. I mean, great guy. I'm not judging.
And I will.
So we play. I don't know if you know this. We play golf. It's 9 holes. So we've completed our 6th hole, going to the 7th hole. 7, 8, 9 left to play, and his phone rings. And he goes over in the corner and he's talking to whoever for a few minutes. And he comes walking back over and he says, "Fellas, I got some bad news." And so we all just kind of looked at him and said, "Yeah." And he says, "My mom just died." So what? "Yeah, my dad just called me and he got home from work and found my mom dead. My mom just died." Now, hang on a minute. He plays the next 3 holes. He says, "That's what my mom would want me to do." He's about 28, 29, I'm guessing. Nice guy. And so we finish up, and then we get out, we're done, and he says, as he gets out of the car, he says, "Listen, I'm sorry, man. I just got distracted those last 3 holes." I'm thinking, no kidding. Got distracted. But wait a minute, it's not done, you know. They think I'm crazy, you know. I'm always wearing my Jesus garb, although I was moderately dressed last night in my Jesus garb and my Jesus hat. And so I won. We're done. Put the cart away. And I wander into the clubhouse to see if my son-in-law's there, ready to go. And here he comes. This young kid comes walking down, and he comes up and he starts apologizing again. He's kind of emotional, kind of apologizing again. And I said, "Hey, Johnny, is it okay if I pray with you?" And he came running and gave me the biggest bear hug. He said, "Oh, would you?" And so there I am right in the middle of this. I don't mean to laugh. It was a scene right out of, I don't know what it was out of. And so I'm praying for him. He's hugging me. He don't even know my name. I don't even know his name. He's hugging me. and I'm praying for him and his family, and he's sobbing, and everybody in the clubhouse is transfixed. They've never seen anything like this, you know? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. And then I felt guilty when I went home. I should have pulled him outside and led him to the Lord, but it was such a surreal moment. So, Dale, be ready in season and out of season, man. You never know. You never know, baby, when something's going to pop up. I tell you that story.
Hey, amen, Coach.
Please, Flicker, come on in here. Somebody come on in. I got one. I can flick something. Yeah, go.
Prayer's always in season, brother.
Especially, I tell you, this boy wasn't saved. I don't know if he'd ever prayed, but I'm going to tell you this. In his hour of need, he did not resist prayer. Amen. That ought to be a signpost to us. The world's just lost. They're just lost. And, you know, we've done an awful job of explaining what the gospel is. They don't even know what. They think it's religion. And the average guy that you run into, he knows he's a hellion. He knows he believes in God, but he thinks, why would God? He knows what he's done with his own life. He thinks, why would God ever have anything to do with me? And so they see us as righteous and holier than thou. And we have so messed up the gospel message. We just so messed it up. And we don't do a good job of explaining it. And unfortunately, most of us in the churches could not clearly explain the gospel to somebody that David needed to call. He couldn't do it. So it's a great feeling. And I don't want you to think in any way, shape, or form I made fun of that guy, because I didn't make fun of him. But the moment was so surreal. It was so surreal. And he thanked me about 15 times for praying for him. I wonder when the last time was somebody prayed over that guy. I don't even know. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, they need more moments like this. We need more moments of people having fellowship and less moments of people with their stupid devices. They need to put these things down, grab someone's hand and pray for the coming, you know?
Hey, that's right, Vince. And how many times do you think that story I just told was repeated by people who watched it happen and went home and told somebody? They ain't going to believe. They say that coach guy, they say that guy's crazy. You should have seen. You should. I just can't even imagine the afterburn as a result of having done that. And see, I run into people and they're scared of me because of what they've heard about me. But they're open, you know. They admire righteousness. They just don't think they can be. They admire it. And they want it. They believe for it. And you turn on the TV and you watch what happened yesterday, and that's Peter's stroke hearing, and you understand there ain't no righteousness. There ain't no rule of law. There's two sets of rules. When there's no king in Israel, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And if you didn't watch the hearing, the thing yesterday, it's just all theater. It's all theater. And here's what it comes down to. The Republicans would ask some hard questions about Peter Stroke, about committing treason. And then the Democrats would come on and talk about what a great guy Peter Stroke was, and the Russians. The Russians, the Russians, the Russians. It's like somebody printed out cards and it's your turn to speak here. You read this. Your turn to speak here. Read this. And so we see that there's two sets of laws. There's no guideline. Why would anybody follow the law? The only reason anybody would follow the law is because they can get the little guy. And I wrote a commentary a few years ago called Policing the Law Abiding. And that's really what's going on. Hell, crime's everywhere. Crime's running rampant. If they want to, they'll get right you a speeding ticket or running a stop sign or something like that. And their goal is just to try to, those who are following the law, let's just try to keep them following the law. The real crime, we can't do anything about that. There is a deep state. Come on in. Somebody, I got some stuff to show you. Anybody?
Hey, I'm not trying to monopolize today. I'm not trying to monopolize. But did you see that?
Okay, well, I was going to say something. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Okay, Vince, go ahead.
All right, I was just going to say that. Did you see that idiot come on and pray and praise him and praise Peter Strzok? I thought he's going to go gay for him in a moment.
You know? I got a couple clips I'm going to show you if we get a chance. Yeah, it was amazing. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was going to say that I think the Trump administration had done a little fishing expedition. They announced that their Delta Force team was going to try to arrest Obama. So they announced that about, I don't know, 10 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Well, then, about 5 days ago or so, the Pope has come out and says that Obama will have refuge in the Vatican. So he pushed him out.
I didn't see. I saw the video that you sent on the. Do you guys really think they're going to arrest Obama? He should be arrested. Do you think they're going to? Does anybody really hold out hope that they're going to do that?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
One thing it said, I don't either, but one thing it said, it was a fishing expedition, okay?
Right.
They said they're not going to do it in the States because he's.
I did see that. Yep. And so the Pope came out and said that he's in support of him, huh? That Obama can come there. Why would she go there? Maybe go there and become a priest. That'd make me really, really, really happy.
Well, they worship the same thing, so.
They do. Okay, so let me go here. This is good. Hey, Jared. Listen. Let me pull a couple things together here for you, real quickly. Okay, Jared, go to high energy beams. That's all it says is high energy beams. Folks, that's just more to talk about. Now that we've cracked open this thing, this is going on more. I'm going to go somewhere else today. But look at this. High energy blazar launches cosmic particles to Earth. First evidence of a blazar launch now exists. And see, they're talking about data, energy, waves. So those of you who said, Coach, you're tinfoil hatting it. No, I'm not, man. We're right here. And as I said yesterday, folks, let's marry science and Christianity. Let's marry those two. They're not opposites. They line up. Now, see, worldview is this. I get up in the morning and I look at the beautiful day, just the beautiful day, and I say to my wife, oh, what a beautiful day God has given us today. Let's live it to the fullest. And then a secularist or a non-believer gets up and they stand on their porch and they look out and they say to their wife, oh, what a beautiful day. Isn't a nature amazing and nature created all this? So worldview matters. I don't think nature just created it. I believe in natural things, but there's a creator behind nature. So that's where the battle is. So even in the whole battle of evolution, I don't argue there's evolution. I battle origins. Where did it all begin? Where did this all come from? It's not on, oh, you don't believe in evolution? Are you kidding me? You one of them Christians that doesn't believe in evolution? Well, do me a favor. Would you define evolution? What do you mean? You mean us coming from pond scum? No, I don't believe that. No. You mean my son looking like me? Yeah, I believe that. So they catch us up on the terms. Remember that words have meanings and words matter. So Jared, I'm not gonna read all that. I'm just showing more evidence that this stuff is going on around us. Jared, let's go and look at one other one. Where is it? Where is it, Coach? Where'd you put that, Jared? It might be under stuff. Let's see if it's under stuff. Yeah, Jared, let's go under stuff, and it says fire frequencies. Because we talked about this a couple, 6-7 months ago, maybe when they're having the California fires. Look at this. California fires, cars melt while leaves of nearby trees are untouched. Can you see that on your screen, folks? Are you able to see that? And they're saying that these research is showing that this is a result of direct energy weaponry. Now, I don't even know what it means other than they understand and they have mastered some of this technology of controlling beings, directing beings. Look at this. Look at this car on your screen right now. Melted. It's melted. And then there's trees around it that aren't even burned. Oh, wow. And some mofo says, Judy Woods, Google her. Look at this picture. Look at that car. And look, there's a field right beside it. Right? So again, just more pictures. This is direct energy beams. They understand waves. Look at this one from the sky. Green trees. All the buildings blown up and burn up and everything, but the trees are still there. Look here. That's what it was before. There it is after. I'm sorry if you're listening to it. Again, this will be available at CoachDaveLive.com. So again, this use of beams and Jimmy Kraft yesterday, when he said the word of his power, that blew me away, Hebrews. The word of his power, not the power of his word, the word of his power. And so what does this power look like? See, we cannot, again, we cannot separate science from the scriptures. God spoke, said, let there be light. Something happened. Scientifically, something happened at that point. That's all I'm trying to say. Anybody want to piggyback on any of that? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, with that, I had a conversation yesterday with the guy, and that's what it was. He said, we started talking about homo stuff, and then he said, and I was like, look, butt farming, butt sex, that's all it is. I mean, what? And he said, well, you know, Christianity's dying. It's going away. And I was like, yeah, I know. I know. You see it too, huh? And then he's like, yeah, but we're getting, you know, smarter, and it's going to be it's replaced with science and reason. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, the science and reason of letting people have butt sex with each other.
Hey, you know Coach, you talked about the language, and you mentioned that the world believes that nature created everything, and the world believes Mother Nature created everything, right. And we as Christians, we reinforce their worldview every time we refer to the Creator as Mother Nature, and we do it all the time.
We use their words all the time. We use those words all the time, right? Hey, I was just thinking about direct energy weapons, huh? Do you guys remember? Boy, I wish I could find it in the scripture. Just hit me. Do you remember when Jesus, when they were getting ready to arrest Jesus? Does anybody remember that? And Jesus spoke and then knocked all the men down. You guys remember that? Can anybody tell me where that is? Because again, remember, the word merely expresses his power. His power doesn't create the word. He created the light so he could speak it. He created the light so he... Lord.
Is that Hebrews 1:3, brother?
Well, right here. Yes. Jared's looking for it right now. You guys know what I'm... anybody know what I'm talking about? When Jesus... they're getting ready to arrest Jesus and he speaks his word and boom, all the men fell down. I know it's there. It's not in the Hebrews. It's in one of the Gospels.
I think it was, he said, I am.
There it is. John 18:6, it said, Jared. Let's go to John 18. Direct weapons. Jared, let's go to one. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas was with him too, and that dude's about to betray him and knew the place. But Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Judas is coming to arrest him. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things that should come upon him, Jesus knows what's going on there, went forth and said to them, hey, dudes, who are you looking for? Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, that be me. I am.
Amen.
You see that where it says he, the italicized he? That means in the original text, he wasn't. The word he wasn't there. He simply, they said, we're looking for Jesus. And Jesus said, boom, I am. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they fell backwards to the ground. Whoa! There's some directed energy in there. Oh, man. I got to quit hanging around Mark Trump and Todd Barham because this stuff just...
Hey, brother, how about that directed energy when he comes back riding on a horse with fire in his eyes, a sword in his hand, and a two-edged sword proceeding from his mouth to smite the nations, and the blood will flow as high as the furlows of a horse? That's pretty directed energy right there, Coach.
That'll be some direct energy. And how about this one also? How about that the Shroud of Turin? And now they're finding out that the Shroud of Turin, they can't explain it, but it was like, are you ready? It was like somebody took an x-ray. Choosh! So when life came back into Jesus, if that would be the shroud of Jesus, light came back in there. Boom! There was a negative imprinted on that shroud. Isn't that something? Energy, waves, power. This stuff excites me. Hey, Jared, let's go to stuff. And it says lion hearts. Lion hearts. See if you can pull that up. It's on a Facebook page. I hope you can get to it. I don't know. Oh, don't tell me that. Not available right now. What does that even mean, I wonder? Oh, okay.
Hey, Coach, can I interrupt for a second?
That's what's it's. Hey, it's Flea Flicker Friday, Karen. Come on in.
I was thinking, put on your tinfoil hat for this one.
Okay, hang on. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. All right.
If you've ever listened to L.A. Marzulli, he has a great book called The Cosmic Chess Match. And he talks about how Satan is countermoving. So God makes a move and then Satan countermoves, you know, back and forth and back and forth. And I was thinking, and I actually heard this by someone else on YouTube, where they said, what would it be like if Satan's countermove is he took the Shroud of Turin image and he made the Antichrist the image on the Shroud of Turin?
Oh, Karen, don't go there on that one. Oh, that is tinfoil hat, but wow, huh? Counterfeited. Yeah, so,
you know, a question I've always had about the Shroud of Turin is the Bible says all the hair was plucked from his face. Well, where did that beard come from on the Shroud of Turin?
Good one, Larry. Good one, Larry. Okay, up on the screen, Jared, click on the 5 signs your personality is so strong it's intimidating others. That'd be me. I was reading this. I said, well, this is me. And I hope it's some of you, right? 5 signs your personality is intimidating. Jared, maybe you can reduce that just a little bit. Look, how about this African proverb? The lion doesn't turn around when the small dog barks. Kind of like that one. Have you often been accused of being intimidating? Anybody say amen on that? Anybody say
amen?
Yeah, amen. You can't reason with him. You can't tell him anything. People might judge you for what you are without knowing about your own life. Your personality today is a result of experiences that you've gone through in the past. Because of that, your attitude towards life has become tough and strong. Others may not like the way you are, but that should not bother you. You should not be sorry for who you are. Good place to say amen. Marked by tension, your life has seen many ups and downs in your career and relationship, and this has transformed you to an independent and stronger person. Therefore, you do not easily come off as soft to people.
I remember I need to do that.
I'm telling you this. I ain't never been accused of being a soft, ever. Marked by tension, your life has seen many ups and downs. Sometimes you are misunderstood as rude, mean, for the way you behave and react around people. What most people fail to see is your soft side behind this garb of being a tough one. People who come across as intimidating are actually kind in nature and have a big heart. It was Flip Benham that said, I have a lion's heart and alligator skin. That's it. I'm not bragging about me. This just validated for me. So here are some common traits that are visible in intimidating personalities. It's me. Small talk is annoying. You don't appreciate small talk, and neither do you indulge in it very often. Deep and serious conversations which involve participation of the intellect is something that interests you. Petty, conversations concerning the weather or the glamour world do not catch your attention. You are, in fact, infuriated if someone interrupts you with their small talk. I don't get infuriated, but it does irritate me too. With somebody who's strong-willed, willful, ignorance is not tolerated. You not only have a strong personality, but are wise and learned at the same time. You're open-minded, and you do not entertain someone who is judgmental. Baseless judgment comes from being ignorant. One way to mitigate ignorance, is to educate yourself. But if someone is too lazy to do so for themselves, then you would either walk away or lose your patience with them. That's me. I'm not going to cast my pearl before swine. I ain't going to do it. I know right away. 3, you see more opportunities than others. I'm going to say this again. You see more opportunities than others. Because you are open-minded, you may see many more opportunities in situations than others do. This attitude not only helps you survive, but it also pushes you through tough situations. At the same time, you may encounter animosity and jealousy from others because you have the ability to achieve success through hardship. Boy, is that one, huh? Achieving success through hardships. 4, your focus is on solutions, not problems. Strong-willed people are focused, and they know how to get their things done. They do not tolerate any excuses from others and who try to hinder their work. They dislike people who are weak and complaining and fail to manage things on their own. And number five, and then you can jump in here and hit me in the mouth, and I don't give a damn what you say to me. You are a person of your word. You are a person of your word. Honesty is something that you value.
Amen, coach.
You are straightforward, who speaks their mind and is not afraid to come off as someone who is rude. I'm not afraid to do that. Amen. You're not two-faced, and you tell people exactly what you think. You always stick by your word and never lie to a friend. Because of your personality traits, you are choosy about your friends. You cannot be friends with anybody and everybody. You detest liars and dishonest people. If it sounds like you or someone you know, then you must understand by now that people with strong personalities may come off as intimidating, but that they are not cruel at heart. They do not try to dominate you in any way. They just cannot restrain their anger and frustration with when they come across people who wear masks. That'd be me. Amen. Somebody else? Any more like me out there?
That'd be me.
Huh? What's that, brother?
That's tell it, me brother. In, coach.
And they tell us it's not nice to be that way. It's not very Christian to be that way. Okay, cool. All right, now hang on. It's going. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just do, I don't know, somebody do a search and figure out how much is possible when two of those mean people get together and work together. I guarantee you they get 1,000 times more done than one and the other.
Amen. 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 That's what I appreciate about Big Rich. He said, just point and click me. Just point and click me. And that's a strong-willed guy. And see, strong-willed people turn people off. Why? Because we're surrounded by mealy mouths. We're surrounded by them. Nobody will take a position. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Nobody will take a position. Nobody in church will take a position and, coach, you're a troublemaker. And all. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's BS, and I'm going to say that's BS. I'm not going to go along to get along. They're eating our stinking kids. They're destroying our country. And I'm not just going to sit back and say, I'm okay, you're okay. And so, well, he's hard to reason with. Yeah. Why? Because truth sounds like hate, and I'm going to stand on the truth. And you want to lie, and you want to believe that crap those people in Congress are saying? That's up to you. That's okay. Let me show you a strong-hearted guy. Hey, Jared, click up Louis Gohmert. Louis Gohmert yesterday. I know Louis Gohmert, by the way. Not bragging, not dropping names. I know Congressman Gohmert. Hang on there a second, Jared. Guys, you ain't going to believe. Here's two things I want you to do. I want you to listen. Louis Gohmert is going to ask Peter Stroke. This is just, oh my goodness, this is a wallop. I don't know if you watched his stroke yesterday. What a freak.
Punched him right in the mouth.
He's investigating other people. Stroke is investigating other people, right? He has authority, and he's investigating other people. Now, watch Louis Gohmert hit him right in the mouth with the truth, and then listen to the pigs squeal. Listen to all the pigs squeal. This is what a power. See, Louis Gohmert, he's just got the, dare I say it, the stones to say what most people are thinking. And I heard a guy say, I heard an analyst say yesterday, he was saying what everybody else is thinking, but that's really not the proper setting in which to do it. Really? What is the proper setting in which to do it? So sit back for about 35 seconds. Well, how long is it? A minute and 52 minutes. And watch Louis Gohmert punch Strokes, punch him right in the mouth. This is awesome. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, everybody's got political views. Those are called biases, and we all have them. And you have come in here and said, I have no bias. And you do it with a straight face. And I watched you in the private testimony you gave. And I told some of the other guys, he is really good. He's lying. He knows. We know he's lying. And he could probably pass a polygraph. Point. It's amazing.
Mr. Chairman.
No, this is my
Mr.
time.
Chairman, I'm sorry. It needs to be paused. This point of order.
No,
The gentleman will state his point of order.
A member of this committee just asserted that this witness, who is under oath and a former agent of the FBI, lied. There is no evidence that. I ask him to withdraw it.
I do not withdraw it. He is not a member of Congress. It's not a violation of the rule. And just as you have been expressing bias through your members about what a hero
there is not a single person on this committee who has ever characterized a witness.
Gentleman from Rhode Island.
Gentleman
from Rhode Island.
Get ready.
No, the disgrace Mr. is what this man has done.
The gentleman from Texas will suspend for a moment.
There is the disgrace. And it won't be recaptured anytime soon because of the damage you've done to the justice system. And I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa? Oh,
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
The credibility of a witness shame is always on an
Chairman.
Issue.
Mr. Chairman, please.
Have you
Mr.
No
Chairman, this is an intolerable harassment of the witness.
What is wrong with that? You need your medication.
He just got owned. I love it. I love it.
That's awesome. Is that Maxine Waters screaming about needing medication at the end? Someone took a red pill.
Play the last 30 seconds. I hear this lady say, hey, you need your medication. In other words, Louis Gohmert is saying, if you lie to your wife, why the hell should I believe anything you say? Right? So go ahead. Last 30 seconds, Jared. Play that again. And listen to these demons start spouting, right? Because Peter Stroke is a known adulterer. We know he's an adulterer. He's an admitted adulterer. And Louis gets him, man. Go ahead.
And I've talked to FBI agents around the country. You've embarrassed them. You've embarrassed yourself. And I can't help but wonder, when I see you looking there with a little smirk, how many times did you look so innocent into your wife's eye and lie to her about Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, this is outrageous.
The credibility of a witness shame is always on an issue.
Mr. Chairman, please.
Have you
Mr.
No
Chairman, this is an intolerable harassment of the witness.
What is wrong with that? You need your medication.
That's the truth.
Is that awesome?
Is that truth? Huh?
If he's going to cheat on his wife, he's going to cheat on her country.
Amen. That's what he's making, huh?
Absolutely. I mean,
oh, my God.
The whole point is he's an admitted adulterer, brother. He's an admitted adulterer. They can't get past it. It's a bunch of nonsense. They can't get past it. Forget about it.
Vinny, he's not admitted. He got caught in adultery. He's a stab.
He's done, brother.
He's a snake. So listen, let me show you another one. This is so good. And here's why we got to know that it's all theater, right? Because here we all have the liberal Democrats defending the FBI. Can you believe it? The liberals who don't want to follow any law at all are now talking about what a great law enforcement agency the FBI is. It is amazing. So here's another great one. This is about 5 minutes, and I want you to see it, though. This is Daryl Issa making Peter Stroke read his own emails. Go ahead, Jared. Play that one. It's 5 minutes. Yep.
Your statements to us about how they did it.
And do you think it was okay for Secretary Clinton to determine what could or couldn't qualify for her to turn in under the Federal Records Act?
I can't speak to that. That was a decision, my understanding, between her and her attorneys. And
okay, but you're aware that in her production, she failed to deliver some items that have now been ruled as classified, correct?
I'm aware that we recovered information that was not in the material that she turned over. I don't know if it was her failure, the failure of the attorneys conducting that sort, or simply because she didn't have it. I don't know the answer to that question.
So I bring up something that came up in the previous rounds. So far, only you have determined what should be turned over from your private emails or your non-government emails and texts, what should be delivered because it was government in nature. You've made that decision.
Time out. Right.
And it's your position that...
Folks, I want you to understand what he's saying. Peter Stroke, Peter Stroke got to determine what emails he turned over. So in other words, when the IRS comes knocking at your door, do you get to determine which documents they get to see? So this guy's under investigation, and he gets to turn over what he thinks is pertinent. And that's what Daryl Issa is pointing out. Go ahead, Jared.
Nobody else in the way of a government entity should be able to look over your shoulder, so to speak, and make that decision.
That's right.
So you think it's okay for the target, and you are a target, of an investigation to determine what should be delivered rather than, if you will, the government, right?
Sir, I'm not aware of any investigation of which I'm a target.
Well, you're a target of our investigation. We think that you had a bias and you acted on it, and that's been made pretty clear. So I'm going to just ask one series of questions very quickly, if I could. You did a number of texts. All of the texts that are presented to us, as far as I know, came from your government phone, correct?
I believe that to be the case, yes.
So you've made no text available from your private phone, is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you ever text on your private phone?
I did.
Did you ever text Lisa Page on your private phone?
I did.
Did you ever text Lisa Page on your private phone similar text to the ones you did on your government phone?
By similar, you mean what?
Commenting on Mr. Trump or Hillary Clinton or anything else political in nature.
I don't specifically recall, but it's probably a safe assumption that yes,
so it's likely that they'd be similar.
It's a safe assumption. I don't.
So your personal phone has likely similar text to the ones that we found on your government phone. That's correct?
I would say it has similar expressions of personal belief. Yes.
Okay, so in front of you have a one sheet of paper that was presented to you a few minutes ago, and I'm going to just go to a date and then ask you to read your own words. March 4th, 2016.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. OMG, he's an idiot.
May 4th, 2016.
Now the pressure really starts to finish MYE.
July 19th, 2016.
Hi, how is Trump other than a douche? Melania?
July 21st, 2016.
Trump is a disaster. I have no idea how destabilizing his presidency would be.
August 6, 2016.
I don't believe I wrote this text, sir.
Okay, it's been attributed to you, so we'll go on to the next.
Incorrect.
August 8, 2016.
Again.
And I'll preface it by saying this for context. Ms. Page said, not ever going to become president, right? Right?
No, he's not. We'll stop it.
Repeat that again.
No, he's not. We'll stop it.
August 15th, 2016.
I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40.
On October 20th, 2016.
I can't pull away. What the, and I defer to the chairman whether
you can
or not
just use one letter if you don't mind.
Why the F, what the F happened to our country, Lise?
Okay, read it again that way.
Sir, did you not? Was
no,
it not intelligible?
Hear it
you
one
just
more
want
time.
To hear it for yep. me to repeat it.
Please.
Okay, sir. Sure. Happy to indulge you. I can't pull away. What the F happened to our country, Lise?
You can stop.
Why in the world?
Is that good? Now, that's great theater, but nothing ever happened, right? It's great theater. We have a traitor sitting right in front of us, and there ain't a whole lot that's going to be done about it. Great theater. I put Trey Gowdy up on there. Oh, he was great. But nothing ever happens, right? Yeah, you don't pay your property taxes. Oh, man, they come and lock down everything you have. And this guy still has a what do they call it? Top secret clearance. Somebody jump in here.
You know, well, I imagine that this guy was on the courts. Back in the founding days of our fathers, that man would be hanging from the gallows today.
Question is, how does a snake like this make it to the top of this organization? Somebody else.
Coach,
you
not only
mentioned the word traitor a second ago. I found out something a few days ago that I didn't know. It was back somewhere late Vietnam era or something like that. The Supreme Court made a decision, and this is one of those Supreme Court stepping outside of its bounds again, but they made a decision that the crime of treason could only be levied against someone if the United States was involved in a declared war. In other words, if there wasn't a congressional declaration of war, treason cannot be committed.
Hey, this this is a good example. This is a good example of, what does the Bible say about justice has fallen in the streets?
That's right, Isaiah.
This is a great example. It just goes to show you how deep the deep state is, and the collusion among the members of the deep state on the periphery. I mean, you got Congress, okay, doing the bidding of the deep state,
covering for him. They are covering. Yeah. Hey, listen, Glenn, I came up with a new term. It's dark state, not deep, dark.
Right.
Deep staters are just bureaucrats who have been there for a long time. Dark staters are those who have been there a long time, and they're insidious in what they're trying to do.
Hey Coach, yeah. You know, aside from the whole interview, what I see is the people in the background in the first video. I seen it last night, and I was thinking, because he called out adultery,
yeah,
they jumped on him. Yeah. Not because of his manner, but because he called out adultery just like it was normal. So the straw sitting up there as an adulterer is fine in everybody's eyes, just like the Nathan Larson, the admitted pedophile running for Congress, just like him. You know, if he was sitting there and somebody called out pedophilia, they would defend it. They would sit around him and say, how dare you have you no shame talking about his pedophilia?
David, they would ban him on Vimeo. They'd ban him on video, Vimeo. They'd ban him on Facebook. And they would ban him on YouTube. That's what they would do.
Yeah.
We see it. Yep.
Ray Moore, Donald Trump. No, they wouldn't only do that. They'd pull up something from 40 years ago and say, you maybe might have touched a girl one time 40 years ago.
Good
and
boy.
Blow that up.
That's a bunch of nonsense. Yeah. Well, think about the people who cried the loudest, Coach. The people who cried the loudest. Think of how guilty they are.
Yeah, and no kidding. And Stormy Daniels can't be arrested because it's a 10-year-old law. Okay, listen, one more thing I want to get out here on the table for us.
Wait, Coach, one more thing.
Yeah, Karen, I'm sorry. I forgot you. Go ahead.
That's okay. The thing that gets my guff is that although they escorted him out of the building, he's still on the payroll. We're still paying for this guy.
We are.
He never got fired.
Karen, and you don't pay your taxes, right? You don't pay your taxes. They come and get you. And
I know.
And
it makes me nuts.
Let me tell you something. Here's where he blew it, okay? I'm going to be Peter Strzok's attorney. Here's what Peter Strzok should have done. So up there sits Jimmy Jordan, and Jimmy Jordan says, Peter Strzok, did you say this? And if I'm Peter Strzok, I say, yep. And then, well, did you say this? Yep. Did you say this? Yep, I did. And what did he say? Hey, Davey, did he say that? No, he tried to parse it. Oh, yeah, I said it, but I didn't mean it. And it was this. That. See, they don't even know how. Got my grandson here. They don't even know how to dig themselves out of their own hole, right? He should have said, yep, I did, but it didn't impact my investigation. Yep, I did say that. Yep, I do hate him. Yep, but I'm honest. Yep, I hate him. He's honest. And it would have taken, instead, like all liars do, they try to squirm out of it, and he wasn't able to squirm out of it. So here's another one I got to go to, and it's non-political, but this shows where we are. And this guy's a friend of mine, and I hate to expose a friend of mine, but I'm going to do it. David Arthur, when we went to Washington, D.C. last week, and after 2 weeks ago, when we were done, we went to a building where they fed us sandwiches, right? You know what I'm talking about, David. That is a building run by this guy here. Then I'm going to show you. Jared, pull up. It says Shank. Pull it up there. Hi, Davey. Let's get you up on the screen there so you can see yourself. There you are, Dave. Look at it. There you are. Yeah, man. Say hi to everybody. Say hi to them. Okay, there it is up on your screen, folks. Look at this. Once militant anti-abortion evangelical minister now lives life of regret. I used to go to Washington, D.C. and stand with Rob Shank. Evangelical minister Rob Shank was once a militant leader of the anti-abortion movement. Follow this now. Blockading access to clinics to prevent doctors and patients from entering. But after more than 20 years in the movement, Shank experienced a heart change. Though firm in his evangelicalism, he has disavowed his militant anti-abortion stance. Watch this now. Hey, folks, putting women above babies. Watch this. I live with regret, he says. I remember women, some of them quite young, being very distraught, very frightened, some very angry, and over time, I became very callous to that. Hey, Rob, they're pulling their arms and legs off in the womb, Rob. Shank now sees abortion as a moral and ethical issue that should be resolved by an individual and his or her conscience rather than by legislation. Can you believe this? Sorry, David, didn't mean to scare you. This is not a question for politicians, Shank says. No, really? Really? When your end goal is a political one, you will, without exception, exploit the pain and suffering and the agony of those who face the issues in their daily reality in their life. What about the baby? What about the baby? Shank describes his change in outlook as one of several conversions he's had. Change is part of the spiritual life. And anytime we stop changing and stagnate spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, we stop growing. So now Rob's growing left. He's growing to the left. Shank's new memoir, there we go, Costly Grace, tells a story of the different phases of religion, political life, and explains why he changed. And now he, more inclusive, preaches a more inclusive message, embracing the people he wants demonized. Scroll down there so everybody can see his face. All right, that's the face of a traitor right there. Right there, that's Rob Shank. Rob, I hope you're watching.
Follow the money.
And so, Coach, I guess now he's going to remove those Ten Commandments from outside of his house.
Yeah, maybe he should, right?
Yeah.
And remember what Matt Tice told us. He's put the Second Commandment above the first. He thinks it's a woman's feelings are more important than a baby's life. Fits right in with the social gospel and everything that we see going on in America. So, folks, we are being bombarded from every direction. Got about 3 minutes. Somebody help me wrap this up. And I'm sorry, it hasn't been a lot of scripture today.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Karen.
Is this a situation, Rob Shank, where that once saved, always saved theory applies?
Probably. Yeah,
I think it's also a perfect example of even the elect being deceived.
Even the very elect being deceived. Yes, right. Yeah. I sat in the U.S. Supreme Court for a hearing on religious liberty with Rob Shank. He got me a ticket. I was in the Supreme Court when they say, hear ye, all rise. I was in the Supreme Court sitting with Rob Shank with a ticket that he got me about 15, 16, 17 years ago. And now, for all I can tell, this kind of stuff just grieves my heart, man.
Hey, Coach, you need a ticket for that?
In the end, we just want to be accepted, don't we? What, Vinny?
Hey, Coach, you need a ticket for that?
You need a ticket to get in, and Rob gave me a ticket.
Isn't that ridiculous, though? I mean, you know, think of the idea. It's a ticket for the Supreme Court. I mean, yeah. It's not a very good event, is it?
Not only that, buddy, they're hard to come by. How many people you know have ever sat in the courtroom during a Supreme Court hearing? I was there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of Rob Shank, who now thinks it's women's consciences are more important than babies' lives. It just
lies, right? Lies over feelings. Imagine that.
Lives over feelings. That's right. Lives over feelings. Crazy. I feel like I got something else I got to say. Hey, OSA all next week. Dale, I'm probably not going to be there till Monday. David and Arthur, I'll be coming in there. As many as you can get there, minister with us in Indianapolis, Operation Save America in Indianapolis, going to be there all next week. You'll get to hear Pastor Dale lead praise and worship. You'll get to hear Pastor Dale preach on the streets. You'll get to hear Pastor Dale do a lot of great stuff. July 14th through the 21st, my schedule was such I just can't get away till Monday. And I'll stay probably till Thursday evening. I think we're probably going to have to return then. David and Arthur and I are going together. Want to see a lot of good friends out there. You want to get involved. This is a place to be. Hey, folks, listen. They're hammering us from every side. We're getting hammered from every side. And remember this. In order for us to be betrayed, in order for someone to betray you, they have to be sitting at your table. They have to be sitting very close. a lot of treason, a lot of spiritual treason going on in America. And for those of us who are lion-hearted, time for us to stand up and roar. God bless you, man. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.
And we're off.